I'm really excited about today. Our first guest is from the Green Fusion Design Center in San Anselmo. And for those of you who haven't used our website yet, www.kmud.org has a link to Women on Wednesday on the right side of the screen in the lower portion. It says Women on Wednesday. If you click on that, there's an outline of today's show with all of the contact information. I'm trying to be better about posting that before the show so you can kind of follow along if you'd like. So I'm going to play a bit of music and we will get on the air with some of our interviewees. Now I'm going to be talking to Linda Dallaire of the Green Fusion Design Center in San Anselmo. And so please get ready with your questions. She is basically, in my mind, an expert in interior design and especially mixing green building in with the interior of your home. And if you want to remodel and become more, I guess, environmentally friendly within your home and work on air quality and all sorts of other health issues, then she's a woman that could give you a lot of advice. So let's bring her up. Linda, are you there?
I am.
Okay.
Hello.
Thank you. Could you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us how you started working in the field you're currently working in?
Well, I've been working in the interior design building field, and that has been probably about 9 years now. I started out working just in general, learning about all the different materials from primarily indoors, from paint to finishes such as countertops to flooring, and how everything worked together so that your paint color would look the same at night as it did during the day, taking classes in interior design and architecture, so I could learn how to create the harmony within the home that people had expected when they first had the idea that this is what they wanted to do, create a new environment for themselves. And I learned feng shui as well. And as I started getting more familiar with the building ways of constructing, in terms of when something is torn out of your house and you're replacing it with something new, where does that something old go?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I realized, visiting the dump several times, that there isn't any away. There's no magic bullet that what you take out is going to land somewhere. And I was shocked to see these perfectly good cabinets and flooring and everything just sitting around in the dump, just getting just trashed. And I started really thinking about where our away is. And when I realized that hardcore there is no away, I started looking at, well, what does it mean to build for the future generation so that we're not putting everything into a landfill and we're not honoring the work that went into creating the product in the first place? What can I do personally in my field to change that? So I started looking around for a business with which I could work that would have a philosophy of a cradle-to-cradle design, rather than a cradle-to-grave, where we could offer products that could be recycled and could be given to Habitat for Humanity, for instance, put on a market that people would be like a middleman, so when that a house is going to be torn apart, you could call a company that would come and haul things away and recreate them for another use rather than just filling a landfill. So I started working at Green Fusion Design Center almost from the beginning, which is about 3 years ago now. And the company has expanded tremendously because there is a lot more understanding of the importance of your indoor air quality, so that when you're painting your room, you want to be able to sleep in it or eat in it that night, and there's no reason why you can't. And when you use these cheaper paints that have these noxious odors, well, it can take weeks for that to dissipate in the air. In the meanwhile, you and your family are feeling ill. So we started working with people who have allergies and then people who don't at all and don't want to have them. So we have a wide spectrum of people, clients that come through here, and we offer many, many materials from flooring to paint to countertops. And we also can recommend contractors and in terms of doing the physical work, fabricators, painters, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Green Fusion Design Center, that's a great compilation of all sorts of different skills, it seems like.
Yes, we're a 4,000, about to become a 7,000 square foot showroom. Mm-hmm. And everything that we have here has an environmental story, such as a product called Rich Light. Let's just say that, because it's very interesting. It's made here in Washington State, so it's on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about how a product is made, you think about what it takes to make that product. And so is it going to take more to make that product than the product can actually produce? And that is, it going to be a long-term product? Is it going to withstand time? Is it going to withstand household daily abuse? So if it costs more to make it than the life cycle and the duration of the product is going to be, then you really want to rethink that. So Rich Light is made in Washington State. It's made out of a paper pulp. It's what would be thrown away in a mill. And you blend it with a product called a phenolic resin. And phenolic resin is a non-urethra formaldehyde. And it becomes a binder for this material. And it comes in thicknesses from 1/4 inch to 3 inches thick. It comes in a variety of colors, from green to black to blue to gold. And it's a very, very well received material because it's warm to the touch. It is a scratch resistant, and if you do get scratches, you can take some sandpaper and buff them out.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a environmental story because the trees are from well-maintained forests, and the highest maintenance label that you can have, that you can recognize for how a forest is being treated, and the people who own the forests and the workers who help to raise the trees and then to take them down, it's called FSC,
mm-hmm.
and that means Forest Stewardship Council, and that's a pretty big global certification, so that we are aware that the workers are paid a fair wage, that the forests are raised with health of the forest in mind, so that you farm from end to end, so you don't just take down and leave. So these forests are well maintained. They're about to become FSC certified. They're in the United States. The mill is here in the United States, so you don't have a big transportation issue. It's just from Tacoma, Washington, down here to the Bay Area. And we have a couple of countertops we've already got with that people can come in and see this material. And it's beautiful and warm to the touch.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that's just one material that has an interesting story out of many that we carry.
Mm-hmm. And around here, a store just opened up for the first time where they have something akin to organic bedding.
Yes.
And what would you suggest for people, or what are the hazards when it comes to a normal mattress? Or?
Well, I would think that the biggest culprit is fire retardant.
Okay.
Fire retardant is that which is basically a retardant. It doesn't stop a fire, it retards it.
Mm-hmm.
Wool is a fire retardant. And when you use wool in a bed rather than actual fire retardant, there's no off-gassing. Because at night when you sleep, your body sweats. I believe it's up to like a pint of vapor that mm-hmm. your body produces in a night. That means that your pores are pretty open, and you want to put yourself in an environment that is going to it's going to breathe, so that your body doesn't have to work harder doing what it needs to do. So when you're sleeping at night and you're sleeping in a non-toxic bed, meaning that the wool is the fire retardant, that the mattress is made out of materials that also breathe, such as a natural rubber, that people will call it latex, but the latex is means a lot of things, because natural rubber is also referred to as latex because it first started out as natural rubber many years ago, mm-hmm. and then it became a petrochemical base because that was a lot cheaper to produce to get that foam or memory foam. But it doesn't breathe with you, and it does have an off-gassing. So when you sleep in a bed that is a natural rubber bed that has a covering of an organic cotton, and the wool is a wool that is washed in soap and water, so there's no chemical bath, then you've got a winning combination right there, and you'll find that you sleep much better, and your sleep is a lot deeper.
Interesting. Well, that makes sense. Your body's not staving off some sort of chemical onslaught.
Exactly, exactly.
And I wanted to touch on the LEED certification. I have a note that says, the Green Fusion Design Center's interior designers are now LEED-AP, and this stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design.
Yes.
And I have a note that says, the LEED certification promotes a whole building approach to sustainability by recognizing performance in five key areas of human and environmental health, these being sustainable site development, water savings, energy efficiency, material selection, and indoor environmental quality. And could you talk a bit about how you choose the materials that you sell in accordance with those five kind of overarching principles? That's
sure.
hard. That's a lot to stand up to right there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And this is basically the LEED system is primarily in the commercial world. So when you're putting up these gigantic 100,000 square feet buildings,
mm-hmm.
or you're gutting a building and you want your building, and we'll take it from the big picture and bring it into your home. You want your home to be self-sustaining. You want it to be able to run itself as much as you want your toilet, for instance, to run as efficiently as possible in the shower, because you're tapping into the municipal water district.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're already pressuring, as you just have to imagine, it's like an octopus, and you're just everyone's tapping into the body of that octopus, and it's very dependent upon nature and how much water is in a season, and
uh-huh.
how much water we can save. So if you have a system where you are using as little as water as possible, or that you're using a gray water system, for instance, and a lot of people are finding this to be fantastic when they can actually do it, is to have your shower water going into your garden so
right.
that you don't
mm-hmm.
have to use municipal water. You're recycling your water. So there's black water, that which comes from your toilet, which goes directly into another system entirely. But when you're talking about the drinking water system, and that's what you're watering your lawn with, it doesn't make much sense if you don't have to do that. So a gray water system would do that. That's just one aspect of energy or water savings. And then the kind of light bulbs that you use, the new LED lights that are coming out, or the fluorescent light bulbs, they draw far less energy than halogens do. So, and there, many people have been very concerned with fluorescents because they've had a bad name, because they buzz or they give off a very harsh kind of bluish light. And that's
yeah,
all
could
changed.
You speak to that? Yeah, that's changed.
That's changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the color that you paint your walls, for instance, the
mm-hmm.
darker the walls, the more they absorb color. Or you have a dark roof on your house. Well, that absorbs heat. The
mm-hmm.
whole problem with global warming is that white reflects, and the dark, it attracts, so that if the polar ice caps are becoming reduced, you have more mass of black water, which is what absorbs the heat, and this would be a continuum. So you have these big black roofs or black tarmac on the road. That absorbs the heat more, as opposed to lighter roofs and lighter tarmac, and that would help to reflect the deflect the light, and that's what you want to do.
Well, that's interesting. I've never heard anybody connect that to the warming of the earth.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of it. It's every little baby step, everything
mm-hmm.
that we do, every time we throw something away that goes into a landfill. When you take your coffee cup, your takeaway cups, that's made out of paper, and that was once a tree. And that's a byproduct, that's an industry that continuously has to be replaced. And so if we thought to carry a coffee mug in the car with us, or carry a shopping bag in the car with us, and we don't need to use paper, that's the tiny, it's so small, and yet there's so many of us. And when you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, and the numbers add up to how many there are of us, where each one of us is aware that we have an impact, and we can actually do something about it in a simple way, like carrying a coffee mug or plastic. There's more plastic than plankton in the ocean now. So if we stopped using plastic containers, or at least if we started rinsing them out and using them again, as opposed to just buying new ones, because they're just going into the landfill as well, and they have dioxin in it. So when they're in the trunk of your car and they're heating up, and you start drinking them, you're drinking in the dioxin from the plastic. So you can take care of yourself in that way as well. So it really all boils down to, when you see yourself as some valuable, wonderful being on this earth that deserves to have fresh air and clean water and sunshine and blue skies and your children and your children's children, then you start to pay better attention to how you can actually manifest those things in your life.
Wow. Okay, Linda, one moment. I have to do a station ID and then we'll continue. That was really pretty intense. Thank you for mentioning the dioxin when people's cups heat up, because I always try to stress that it's not okay if you keep drinking out of plastic.
Right.
But, okay, one moment. Here we go. Hello, everyone. It is approximately 10:30, and my clock says 10:32. You are listening to KMUD Garberville 91.1, KMUE if you're in Eureka Arcata 88.3, and KLAI Laytonville 90.3. This is Women on Wednesday, the Builder segment. Thank you for joining me. My name is Terry Clementson, and I'm currently interviewing, Linda DeLair of the Green Fusion Design Center in San Anselmo, California. Their information, if you'd like to look on their website, you could go to www.gfdc1.com, or I just looked on www.greenfusiondesigncenter.com, and their website is really neat. It's fun to look at, and it has a ton of really interesting links and current information, so check that out. Thank you for joining me. It is approximately, I bet, 50-ish outside, and the rain is toning down a bit in Redway, California. So wherever you are, thanks for listening. And please do call in with questions when this interview is over in about 15 minutes. Linda will probably stay on the line and answer those if we have some ringing. So get ready for that. In about 15 minutes, call 923-3911. Here we go. Linda, are you still there?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Wow. So far we talked a little bit about the LED certification, and let me see if I can take this caller. One second, please. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I can barely hear you, but can you hear me all right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you have a question for Linda?
Well, when I hear these discussions about our plastic cups and everything, these products are delivered to the masses by large corporations and governments, and we're not going to be able to solve these problems on these individual levels. And does she have any more systemic solutions, contacts, corporations, campaigns that are going on right now to address the general packaging issues and some of these larger issues at the root cause instead of down here at the bottom? I'll take that on the air.
Okay, that's awesome. One second.
Thank you.
Linda, could you speak to that?
Yes, there are many, many, many companies that do take care. There are many organizations that, in fact, take that very seriously and do have campaigns and to help to counteract that very thing which she says, because it is systemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that when it can be a kind of a weakening of one's resolve,
mm-hmm.
when one feels so overwhelmed by the general, I guess it's a disinformation that we suffer from, that we aren't given enough information to make intelligent choices. You know, this is what we're given, and we use them. And then we become victims of packaging. So you buy a tweezer in a package that's so heavy you need to, you know, heavy scissors to cut it open. And then what do you do with all the plastic that it's been wrapped in? It's just terrible. And so you feel like, well, you know, what can I do? And they're in Europe. They've created a new tax system now for the manufacturers. So when they're creating problems for the landfill, their taxes go up. So if the burden is no longer on the people, it's on the manufacturers themselves. And there's an organization here that's called Green Sangha, S-A-N-G-H-A, and I believe it may be a .org. And these people have a plastics campaign going on. And this is a totally volunteer alliance. Mm-hmm. And they'll help you. If you, for instance, the gal who just called, mm-hmm. if she was interested, she could contact them, and they would give her a way to contact corporations and ask them to stand behind their product and ask them what they're doing in terms of environmental awareness and issues, and is their plastic going to break down, or is this going to be more of a burden than an attribute, et cetera, et cetera. So people mm-hmm. like Green Sangha are fantastic for that very mm-hmm. thing. And Co-op America, that's another one. They are fantastic people who are consistently putting out campaigns, and if you get on their email address, they'll send you emails that you can just sign your name to. It's already written out for you, and it's going to a particular company, and you just sign on with that. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to do, just sign your name up to it.
Interesting.
So there are many campaigns. Those are just two companies that I've given her right now, but Green Sangha and Co-op America. Mm-hmm. Both fantastic.
Caller, are you still there?
I think she said she would take it on the
okay,
air.
Okay, awesome. One second. Huh. That's really interesting. It kind of leads into our discussion on Cradle to Cradle.
Yes.
And I know this is a new book out, but I did mention that it talks about the next level of... Previously, I guess it was all the rage to reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Yes.
And which is great. But now there's this new next level that's about creating things while thinking about the whole process and trying to stop that waste cycle and just make things from the beginning more part of the earth or more reusable or something that's not intended for the landfill.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's really exciting. The caller had a good point about the system, but it's also like Green Fusion Design Center is highlighting, it's also about creating things now that aren't intended for the landfill.
That's correct. And of course, anything can be thrown into the landfill. It doesn't matter, you know, but the idea that material can be taken back, there are two companies. One is Interface Carpet and the other is Shaw. And they have carpet is a big perpetrator of landfill problems because the material itself, like a wool carpet, for instance, a wool carpet will break down on the landfill. It'll break down in your backyard if you put it with a jute backing on it. But as soon as you add a latex backing to it, that doesn't break down. And I don't mean like the natural rubber backing because that will break down, but a petrochemical back, and it won't. And so what happens is when it gets thrown into the landfill, everything that sits underneath it just gets preserved. It can't break down because there's no aeration there. So companies like Shaw and Interface have created carpets now that they are definitely cradle-to-cradle carpets, meaning that once the life of the carpet is completed, or if the carpet is no longer desired because there's a new owner or you've decided for whatever reason that you no longer want that, there's an 800 number on the back side of the carpet. You call that number and there's a drop-off station where the people will come with their truck. Most carpets are made on the East Coast, mind you. Most of them are made in Georgia or in North Carolina or so. And so they have, once every few months, they have a drop-off point where you drop off these carpets that are no longer desired, and they will pick them up, bring them back to their carpet, and then grind them up and turn them into new carpet. So they literally consider your purchasing their carpet to be a lend or lease program, because you don't own this forever. You just use it as long as you need to use it, and then the carpet gets taken back and recreated. So that totally relieves the landfill, and the materials are definitely used once again.
Yeah, and that is so exciting. I mean, I know it's, to some people, maybe a little step, but this is awesome to think that manufacturers are finally thinking this way.
Yes.
It's just so neat to me.
Yes, yes. There was a film put out a couple of years ago. It's a Canadian film, and it's called Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Anderson, who was the owner of Interface Flooring, saw this movie, and he actually is in this film. He had read a book by Paul Hawken, the co-owner of Smith & Hawken, and it's called The Ecology of Change. And he read The Ecology of Change, and he had an epiphany. He realized that he was a captain of industry, and he had the opportunity and the responsibility to be just that, the captain. The captain of what? A sinking ship? A battleship? What was the ship that he was being the captain of? And he decided that he wanted to be a captain of responsibility, of responsible manufacturing. So he put his company on a new trajectory to where he was going to, by a certain date, reduce his landfill, the poisoning of groundwater, et cetera, et cetera. He was going to reduce that tremendously. So the line that he carries within his company is called Floor, F-L-O-R, and they are carpet tiles, and they can be mixed and matched. You can buy one tile, you can buy 100 tiles, it doesn't matter, and they make wonderful flooring, and you'll see that if you start paying attention when you go into banks or you go into buildings that are, you'll look on their floor, office buildings, you'll see a lot of carpet that you may think is a broadloom carpet, but in fact it isn't. They're floor, they're tiles. And the reason for that is because if you spill something or you tear a tile, you can take that up and replace it rather than having to replace your broadloom, which is much more expensive and a much bigger waste. So a lot of corporations are going towards this sort of thing, where you'll notice on their floor, and they have beautiful patterns too. So it's another way of seeing things. And people who are in the building industry, like the architects and the designers, they really want to have a legacy. They want to leave something behind them, and many are limited by what their the fear is, that it's going to cost too much. It's going to cost too much to do something green. Well, it's costing not to go green. It costs more not to. In our future generations, which has actually caught up to us now, because we're the future generation of our parents, and it's caught up with us. And now we're looking at what we have to deal with and our children's children. We're pretty much, this is the first time on our planet that we're all in it together with our grandparents and the grandchildren. We have an issue that we need to solve. So I think we're in a very exciting, powerful time, because it gives us truly an opportunity to work hand in hand globally, all races, all ages, all both sexes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing so much information, Linda. This has been really great for our audience. I think I'm going to wrap this interview up in the name of time.
Uh-huh.
But thanks so much for joining us. And I'll probably be contacting you again and maybe having you on if you're open to it in the future.
Oh, I'd love to. This is the best conversation I can imagine myself having.
Yeah. It's great to share this with people, too. I know that these are new ideas and new products, and I just want to keep introducing options to the public. We have a really green community, and I know that they're always open to new information. So thanks so much for joining us. And would you want to give your contact information?
Oh, sure. My name is Linda Dallaire, and I'm a LEED accredited professional, and my email address is linda@greenfusiondesigncenter.com, and Green Fusion Design Center is located on 14 Greenfield Avenue, San Anselmo, California, 94960, and our phone number is 415-454-0174. And once again, my email address is linda@greenfusiondesigncenter.com.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, talk to you in the future.
Take care. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay. So I just learned a lot, and hopefully she'll be joining us again, and everybody can just get into a flurry of question making. Another note, for those of you who just joined us, this is Women on Wednesday, the Builder Show. My name is Terry, and I'm hosting today's segment that's focusing on interior design and greening and bettering your interior environment. That was Linda Dallaire of the Green Fusion Design Center.